Welcome to The Deep Dive, a deeper look at sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church.
Our mission here is pretty straightforward.
Yeah, we dive into a specific source, pull out those key insights, and basically give you a shortcut to being really well-informed on the topic.
Think of it like we're navigating the info right alongside you, trying to find those powerful nuggets of knowledge.
Make the complex feel a bit clearer.
Exactly. Connect the dots, maybe spark some of those aha moments.
And today we are zeroing in on excerpts from Pastor Tim Travis's sermon. It's called Old Paths, New Purpose, Part 5, Paul's Encounter, Identifying and Acting on God's Personal Call.
And the heart of it, really the core scripture for this message and for our dive today, is Acts chapter 9.
Right. So this deep dive is, it's really about unpacking the sermon's themes, things like returning to God's way,
understanding his personal call for your life.
And maybe the toughest part, actually acting on it. What does that look like?
It's a passage and a message just absolutely packed with transformative potential.
Definitely. And just so you know up front, if you want to hear the full sermon or maybe check out other messages from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church,
you can find everything on their website. That's faithwayfbc.com.
Yep, faithwayfbc.com. And from there, you can link straight to their content on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Plenty of ways to get to the original source material if you want to go deeper yourself.
Okay, so Pastor Travis kicks off this series with this theme, Old Paths, New Purpose.
And he anchors it right away in Jeremiah chapter 6. That verse calls the old path a good way.
Meaning God's way.
God's way. And he makes this really crucial distinction early on. He says, look, this isn't about being old-fashioned just because it's old. It's not about, you know, clinging to traditions for tradition's sake.
It's deeper than that.
Much deeper. It's about aligning your life with God's eternal will. It's his path, the way he actually designed things to work best.
Okay, that makes sense. So to kind of illustrate this journey, this returning to God's will,
he uses that powerful analogy from Exodus, chapters 14 and 15, specifically.
Right, Israel coming out of Egypt.
Which he describes as a type, you know, a symbol or representation of the world. And they're heading towards the promised land.
And the core purpose God had in that journey, as the sermon highlights it,
was shifting them, moving them from doing their own will to doing his will.
Because his way is always better.
Always better, even when it doesn't feel like it in the moment. The idea is, he wants to take the dreams and plans he's actually put in our hearts, our God-given desires, and use them for his glory.
But it's not smooth sailing, is it? Almost immediately, they hit massive obstacles.
Oh, yeah. You've got Pharaoh's army chasing them down from behind.
And then the Red Sea right in front of them. A huge, impossible barrier.
It's the classic definition of being stuck between a rock and a hard place.
That feeling of being completely trapped, nowhere to turn. And their reaction. Predictable, maybe?
Totally human. Panic sets in. What on earth do we do now?
Which leads to God's instruction to Moses. It's incredibly simple, but so profound.
He just tells them, tell the people to be still, hush up, and let me work.
Hush up. I like that. It's direct.
Very direct.
And the sermon applies this straight to you, the listener. When you find yourself in those impossible situations where it feels like there is absolutely no way out.
You know, problems closing in from all sides.
Sometimes the best thing you can do, the most effective action, is just to, quote, get along with God.
Spend time in scripture, spend time in prayer.
And consciously, actively choose to let God work. Trust him.
It's about finding that quiet, confident in his power, even when, you know, everything inside you and around you is screaming panic and doubt.
Which really sets the stage perfectly for the main story Pastor Travis focuses on.
The big one. Saul's encounter in Acts chapter 9. Saul, who later becomes Paul, obviously.
And the sermon starts with that powerful description in verse 1. Saul was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord.
That word yet, Pastor Travis points out how significant that is.
Yeah. What's the significance?
It suggests God was already working on Saul, already prompting him, maybe convicting him about things.
But he was pushing back.
Actively, vigorously resisting whatever God was doing. He wasn't just mad. The scripture says he was breathing threats. It was his whole atmosphere.
And he had a plan, a mission. Get official letters from the high priest.
Go to Damascus and arrest anyone of this way. That's how they referred to the Christians.
The men and women didn't matter. Drag them back to Jerusalem.
He was determined. He wanted to completely stamp out this new faith.
But then, bam, everything changes.
In instant. As he's getting near Damascus, the Bible says, suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth.
Must have been terrifying, blinding.
And heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That's Acts 9, verses 3 and 4 in the KJV.
Wow. Just imagine that. Flat on the ground, blinded, hearing your name called, and that first question, why persecutest thou me?
The sermon pulls such a critical insight from that specific question.
Which is?
That persecuting the church, attacking believers, is a direct attack on Jesus himself. He takes it personally.
It really drives home how closely Christ identifies with his followers, doesn't it? You mess with his people, you're messing with him.
Absolutely. And then the voice adds another profound line, verse 5. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Kicking against the pricks. Pastor Travis really unpacked that analogy.
Yeah, it's a farming term, right? Like an ox or some other animal fighting against the sharp goad, the prod that's trying to guide it while it's plowing.
So the more it kicks back,
the more it hurts itself. It's basically fighting a losing battle against something that's actually trying to direct it, usually in the right way.
And the sermon suggests Saul was feeling this, like maybe things he'd seen.
Possibly. Like Stephen stoning, maybe. Saul was there. He consented to it. Perhaps seeing Stephen's faith, his forgiveness, even as he died. Maybe that was a prick to Saul's conscience.
Makes sense. There's a real emphasis in the sermon on how vital it is to actually respond when the Holy Spirit convicts you.
Right. Resisting it, kicking against those pricks, it just leads to more pain and keeps you from where God wants you to be.
So faced with this light, this voice, this intense conviction, Saul's reaction is pretty understandable.
Trembling and astonished, the scripture says.
And he asks two absolutely fundamental questions, the bedrock questions, really. First, who art thou, Lord? Acts 9.5 KJV.
And then immediately after, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Acts 9.6 KJV.
Those two questions really form the core of understanding God's call, which we'll definitely dig into more.
But first, just look at the immediate physical effects on Saul. It's dramatic.
He gets upright, but
his eyes were open and he saw no man. Acts 9.8 KJV. Completely blind.
Had to be led by the hand into the city he was planning to terrorize.
In verse 9 says, he was 3 days without sight and neither did eat nor drink.
3 days. Total darkness. Fasting. It's almost like a physical reflection of the spiritual darkness he'd been in, like a hard reset.
A complete reset button on his entire life. Absolutely.
Okay, so Pastor Travis then skillfully transitions from this, you know, powerful historical account.
To look at our world today, and he notes something many of us probably observe.
Which is?
A kind of decline, maybe. A trend where people seem to be stepping back from faith, or at least from identifying as religious in the traditional sense.
And he mentioned that statistic that really jumped out at me about the knowns, N-O-N-E-S.
Right, being the largest growing religious demographic in America. People who, when asked their religious affiliation, say none.
They don't connect with any organized religion.
And it seems particularly common among younger generations. You hear more questioning about belief in the Bible itself or whether you can even really know Jesus personally.
Pastor Travis contrasted that with previous generations where, you know, even if people weren't deeply devout, some kind of religious label was pretty standard.
It's definitely a different cultural landscape now, no doubt about it.
But, and this is crucial, the sermon's core message cuts right through that. It powerfully affirms that despite all these shifts, despite the trends,
the call to return to God's way, that old path, is still absolutely present and relevant today.
It's okay, the sermon says, to be a Christian. It's okay to go to church. It's okay to be what he called a fundamentalist.
Meaning someone who holds to the fundamental truths of the Christian faith?
Right. The message acknowledges the world around us is changing, but it reaffirms that God's truth and his call haven't changed.
Which brings us right back to Saul's encounter, those two huge questions he asked on the road to Damascus.
Pastor Travis uses them to lay out three essential lessons for us today. Lessons about identifying and, importantly, acting on God's personal call.
Okay, let's break these down. Lesson number one.
His understanding WHO is giving the call.
Right. Comes straight from Saul's first question. Who art thou, Lord? Acts 9.5 KJV.
Now, on the surface, like you said, voice from heaven, blinding light. Seems obvious, right?
You'd think. But the sermon stresses the need for correct identification. It's not just any voice.
Like John the Baptist pointing straight at Jesus.
Exactly. Saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1.29 KJV. And then later, John makes that incredibly profound statement.
He must increase, but I must decrease. John 3.30 KJV.
Getting the who right, truly seeing Jesus for who he is, it naturally leads to us taking a step back. Our own importance shrinks.
That makes a lot of sense. If you really grasp who is calling the Creator, the Savior, your own stuff, your agenda, it just has to diminish in comparison.
And the sermon also highlights how personal this call is. It's individual.
Yeah, the Bible isn't just a history book. It speaks directly. Uses words like you. You who were dead.
Right. It challenges us not to be what Pastor Travis called pitchfork Christians, always thinking the sermon is for the person next to you, pointing the pitchfork of the message at someone else. We need to realize, no, this is for me. God is speaking to me.
So why follow this who?
Because he's in control. He made everything. He knows the plan. He knows what he designed you specifically to do.
And Pastor Travis pointed out the irony, didn't he? Saul, the guy arresting people for calling Jesus Lord,
now finds himself asking, "Who art thou, Lord?" It just shows how the name of Jesus changes everything, how differently the world reacts.
Still true today. And he used that analogy of identification, like a soldier giving name, rank, serial number.
And reminding us that scripture, like in Philippians 2, says everyone eventually will confess Jesus is Lord.
The choice is really whether we do it willingly now or are forced to acknowledge it later.
Okay, so that's the WHO. Moving to lesson number 2, understanding the what.
Comes from Saul's second question, right? Trembling, astonished, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Acts 9.6 KJV.
And here, Pastor Travis makes a really sharp observation.
What's that?
He says, look, many people get the first question right. They answer the who art thou, Lord. They accept Jesus. They get saved. But far fewer really press into that second question. What do you want me to do? He described it as many people being saved but lost.
Saved spiritually, but kind of wandering without purpose or direction in their service to God.
Exactly. So where do we find the answer to the what? What does God want me to do?
The Bible.
Right there in the Bible. Hebrews 1 says God speaks through his son. John 1 calls Jesus the Word made flesh.
So spend time in the Word. Pastor Travis called it basic instructions before leaving earth.
Love that. And look at God's specific instruction to Saul right then and there.
Arise and go into the city. Acts 9.6 KJV.
Now, wait a minute. Saul was already going to the city. He was heading straight for Damascus.
But with his own destructive agenda.
Exactly. God tells him, go to the same place, but now you're going for my purpose, not yours.
That's a really key insight from the sermon. God doesn't always yank you out of your current situation or path.
Sometimes he calls you to join him in his work right where you already are. It's a huge reminder that God is sovereign, he's in control, working his purposes, even in the places we might have been heading for totally different reasons.
And it really challenges our prayer life, doesn't it? How often are we praying, Lord, what will you do for me?
Instead of asking, Lord, what can I do for you? Pastor Travis even suggested try writing out your prayer sometime.
Why?
He said it can be really revealing. You might see just how much of it is focused on your own agenda, your own desires.
Ouch. Convicting. There's often fear tied up in asking that, what do you want me to do? Question, isn't there?
Oh, definitely. We jump to excuses. I'm too old. I'm too young. My health's not good. I've already got plans.
But the sermon pushes back hard on that.
Yeah.
Uses biblical examples like Moses. How old was he when God called him?
80. And God just asks him, basically, what do you have? What's in thy hand? Exodus 4.2 KJV. Just a staff.
Meaning God uses what you already possess, however small or insignificant it seems to you?
That feeling of insignificance, it reminds me of that Fai analogy Pastor Travis shared.
Oh, yeah, the 7 city blocks.
Right. 7 city blocks covered in thick fog, 100 feet deep. But if you condensed all the water in that massive volume of fog,
it would only fill a 16-ounce glass, just a cup.
Incredible. And the application he drew was so powerful. Yeah. Our efforts for God, maybe reading the Bible, going to church faithfully, praying, being kind, they can feel so small sometimes, like that little cup of water.
But their effect.
Their effect is vast, wide-reaching, like that fog covering blocks and blocks. Your life, your faithfulness, it does have influence for God.
So the message is,
yeah,
don't downplay what you do for him, and don't quit.
Don't quit serving. Keep going. Now, the story in Acts 9 pivots slightly here. It introduces Ananias.
Right, a disciple living in Damascus, Acts 9.10.
And God's word comes to Ananias, tells him to go find this guy, Saul. And verse 15, God gives Ananias the reason. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me.
Now, Ananias' first reaction, totally understandable.
Fear. Absolute fear. He knew Saul's reputation. He says it right there in verse 13. Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem.
This is the guy breathing out threats. He's heard the stories.
But the lesson there is just huge. Trust God's word over your feelings, over your fear, over what seems logical based on reputation.
And Ananias obeys. Mm. It's remarkable. He goes, find Saul, this dangerous enemy.
And what does he call him?
Brother Saul.
Yeah.
Acts 9.1 sign KJV. Just amazing. He listened to God, even when it meant embracing someone he had every human reason to fear and maybe even hate.
It really shows that God's call often pushes us way outside our comfort zones. It requires trusting his plan, his power to change hearts, both ours and others.
Okay, so we've had the WHO, the what. That brings us to the third and final lesson Pastor Travis highlighted.
Understanding the when.
And the answer is?
Right now.
Simple as that.
Look back at God's instruction to Saul again. Arise and go into the city. Immediate.
Saul asks, what do you want me to do? God basically says, step one, get up and go. That feels very true to how God often works. You know, he rarely gives us the full 5-year plan up front, all neatly laid out.
No, he reveals it step by step. Pastor Travis used the analogy of getting married or having kids.
You don't know the full load on day one.
Not even close. You learn and grow into it. God gives us what we need for the next step.
So the sermon encourages taking those small, immediate steps for Christ. Maybe this week.
Yeah, maybe it's just committing to reading, say, 3 chapters of the Bible each day, or setting aside 30 minutes for focused prayer.
And he acknowledged, look, consistency is tough. It's a battle for all of us.
But the key is just keep going. Don't let a missed day derail you. Just take the next step. Keep moving forward.
We see this pattern all through Scripture, don't we? People whose lives, whose schedules just got totally rearranged when God called.
Absolutely. Noah spending years building an ark. Abraham, told to leave everything familiar behind.
Esther, risking her life to approach the king. Ruth, leaving her home, her family, to glean in a field.
God often calls us away from, quote, your own way of doing things. Because, as Pastor Travis put it pretty bluntly,
our own way ain't working out so well on its own.
He even shared some relatable modern examples. A Navajo preacher God called back to the reservation he swore he'd never return to.
Or even Pastor Travis himself being sent back to Edgewood after vowing he wouldn't go back there.
Sometimes God sends us right back into the places or situations we most want to escape because that's precisely where his purpose for us lies.
And that connects back to Paul's perspective later in life, Philippians 3, verse 7, KJV.
But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
The sermon suggested thinking about that, like finances, assets, and liabilities.
What do you count as gain in your life? Status, comfort, money, your own carefully crafted plans.
Are you willing to reclassify those things as loss if it means gaining Christ, gaining his purpose for you?
Because serving God fully, it might not lead to worldly gain. You probably won't get rich or famous doing it.
But it brings something else.
A peace, a deep sense of fulfillment that worldly success just can't touch.
And perhaps Paul's 3 days in darkness, blind and fasting.
Yeah.
Maybe that was his burning bush moment.
A forced pause, a time to intensely reflect on his life, his values, what was really gain and what was loss.
A moment of total dependence, total recalibration.
Yes. And it all comes back to that foundational principle in Romans 12, presenting your body as a living sacrifice.
Holy, acceptable unto God, that's how you discern his will.
His old path, that's his way.
Okay, so let's quickly recap those 3 big lessons from Pastor Travis's sermon drawn from Paul's encounter.
First, correctly identify the WHO. It's Jesus, God Almighty. Recognize who is speaking.
Second, understand the what. Find God's specific plan for your life by digging into his word and asking him, what wilt thou have me to do?
And third, know the when. The time to start responding, to take that next step, is right now. Don't wait.
Be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, Psalm 1 says. Steady, fruitful, right where God puts you.
You know, this deep dive really shows the value of taking time with a source like this sermon, unpacking it.
Pulling out those scriptural insights and seeing how they apply directly to our lives today.
And the core message that keeps echoing is just so powerful.
God is calling you. He has a unique purpose designed just for you.
And the time to step onto that old path with his new purpose for you, it's now.
And Pastor Travis leaves us with a really practical, maybe even provocative thought to chew on this week.
Yeah, challenge, really.
Let's take some time. Maybe later today, maybe this week. Sit down and actually write out your agenda, your plan for your life.
What you want to do, where you want to go.
And then prayerfully, honestly, hold it up next to what you know of God's word and ask him, Lord, does my plan line up with your plan for me?
Because I want to know what you want me to do. That's the heart of it.
That's the place of surrender.
And the place where you find real, lasting purpose.
Absolutely. Before we wrap up, just one more reminder. You can find the full sermon this deep dive was based on and lots of other messages from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church.
Just head over to their website, faithwayfbc.com.
That's faithwayfbc.com. It's the hub with links to their YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcast, all the places you can watch or listen.
We really hope this deep dive into Acts chapter 9 and God's personal call has been helpful, maybe sparked something for you.
Thanks so much for joining us.